This back-to-school season, let HelloFresh handle dinner. Their quick and easy meals take the stress out of mealtime, even on hectic weeknights. Get 16 free meals across 7 boxes with code SITUATION16 at HelloFresh.com/SITUATION16.
Situations are back in the building. It's happening for another episode of Here's the Sitch podcast.
Yes, we're back. It's episode number 57.
Damn, 57.
Summer is coming to a slowdown.
I'm ready for that.
I'm
ready for Christmas.
Oh my God, you just skipped the whole fall holiday season and went straight for the big one.
All right, fine. I'm excited for the 65 to 70 degree weather.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
I'm ready for some shorts and a hoodie weather.
Ooh.
And you don't get that anytime on the East Coast unless it's around September.
Yeah.
I remember during our wedding, it was actually 70 degrees and sunny, and that was November 1st.
November 1st. Mm-hmm. That was really perfect. Perfection. I couldn't decide if I want to say perfect or perfection.
Well, speaking of that.
Weather.
We're coming up on our fourth year of marriage.
We are.
Happy, healthy marriage. I'm very excited about that as well.
Time is flying.
Another baby on the way.
Oh my goodness. 4 years married, 2 babies.
Damn. All right.
That's a lot.
Who would have thunk it?
It's crazy because I'm definitely hyped for Christmas. I mean, Christmas is, come on, it's like the event of the year.
Are we putting up Christmas lights this year?
I was going to ask you that. It's so funny you say that because I got like a alert, you know, sometimes your iPhone just gives you like a reminder photo, yeah, like when you're swiping, and there was a photo that came up either on my phone or your phone, and it was from the lights that we did last year, which we did the most outdoor lights.
Are we doing it again this year?
And I meant to ask you, and I haven't asked you. I think it's, I don't know, I'm open to it. Like, I loved it, but it was a lot to do.
It was a lot.
And we did it before the Great Flood. You know, we did it before that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Great Flood kind of took the wind out of our sails because then so did COVID.
Well, you know,
we weren't able to host Christmas.
Many of our friends said that Great Flood was a sign of abundance and blessings.
That's true.
And now fast forward a year later.
And it has.
And our whole home had to sort of be
renovated.
Renovated, yeah. And it wasn't fun, but we're coming to the end now, almost
A year later, we'll be done. We'll be done October, I would say.
And another baby on the way.
And another baby.
Yeah, Romeo.
It has been blessings.
Romeo is 15 months now.
He's so cute.
I'm a first-time parent, but this 15-month stage is the best.
It's kind of like honeymoon.
It's the best.
I don't want to trick any of y'all, okay?
Easy. Veteran parents say the best is yet to come. They always say that. They just said that
being
a parent is the gift that keeps giving, they say.
They do say that.
But I also have to go back to mindset, you know, just in general, because not every parent is a good parent, I guess. It's the truth of the matter. I mean, sometimes you get those deadbeats in the streets.
Oh, damn.
All right. I'm just saying. I think it's just a matter of your point of view and about life and such, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, people do their best.
I said this before that I feel I'm living my best life and living the American dream being a new parent.
You are.
This is all I ever wanted was to be a dad.
Because I think that's what one of your end all, be all life goals has always been.
That has been,
and that's
yes.
why it's very important when you get married that you kind of go over what your core values, so to speak, are, and what your end all be all life goals are, because you want to make sure certain goals like that, you know, you change as you get older.
Very true.
But your life goals, your core values of who you are as a person and what shapes you, you know what I mean? And your beliefs.
So you're saying that
are
should
things
be,
that you need to discuss ahead of time because we both feel the same way about children.
I like the way you said that. So I'm thinking that for the single people out there listening this podcast right now, the subscribers and our listeners, you're going to have to jot this one down because you're saying, and I think it's very important and I agree with you, that you're going to have to sit down with your, was it swipe right or swipe?
Oh, I don't know, honey. That's after our time. I've never been a swiper.
I'll have to ask Vinny.
I don't think you've ever been a swiper either.
He's a swiper.
Oh, he is a swiper.
Vinny's a swiper.
No, yeah. That he's definitely that man is a
swiper.
That man's...
I have a couple swipers in my cast for sure. Probably Angelina's a swiper too. She's definitely a swiper.
Well, those two are the only singles, so...
Yeah, exactly. Singletons. So I think that if you're single and you're ready to mingle and you go out on a date, it's an important question to ask. And what question is that? Is this,
what are your core values?
What's your end game? I think you would pretty much, you're going to scare somebody.
Well, that's what I was just going to say.
If somebody sat down at dinner and they're having, their glass of wine or whatever they're having, and someone says, what's your end game? I think that they might leave the date.
Is it a double standard though? Because part of me is like, but that's really smart because you're not wasting your time. Because if you think about it, if you're a singleton and you're in your 30s.
A simpleton?
Singleton.
Oh, okay.
Singleton.
That's a word? Singleton?
Yeah.
Is that your word?
I think that's a word.
It's singleton. I don't think singleton's a word, but we'll keep going.
I think that's a person's name.
Singleton might be a
John sermon. Singleton. Wasn't he a writer?
Yeah.
I think he wrote Of Mice and Men. Was that John Steinbeck? I don't know. Guys, it's pregnancy brain. Don't judge. But no, I have to say, I respect some people who will, on a first date, say, listen, what's your end game? Because I think that's a very Northeastern way to go about it, because we're so busy and so, a lot of people in this area are just very driven and fast paced and high speed, and time is money and don't want to waste any more time than they already have, maybe in the dating pond.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to see you a second time if you have different core values. And I agree with you.
I could see
how that could scare someone off, but I don't think it should, because I think it's getting to like, it's not wasting your time, it's not wasting my time, it's not wasting our time. You know, you're kind of like, all right, we're not the one.
But some people want their time wasted, though.
They do.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially if they're already single.
Some people want their time wasted. And it also depends on your age and your priorities.
And
you
also,
might want your time wasted.
And also, sometimes people do change.
They do change.
But for certain people.
They do.
Because they want different things for those people.
I changed for you.
I
also always had the end game goal of being a dad, being a parent.
But I think
settling down and putting all of my energies into that, which I do.
Yes.
That was always your goals. I put all of my addictive energies
towards
positive and being a dad and being a husband, a loyal husband, and I love it.
You're the best at it.
I'm honoring myself. I'm honoring my family. I'm honoring my wife.
Yeah.
By making those positive decisions that are driven by integrity, loyalty, principles, discipline.
All right, guys. So today I have a brand new product to talk to you about. That's one of our sponsors for Here's the Sitch podcast today. So Magic Mind is a company that my husband and I have found, and we've really enjoyed their product. So I thought it was about time that we share it with you. Of course, before I say anything about it, I want to make sure if you are pregnant or nursing, you always want to check in with your doctor or provider, because as you all know, I am pregnant right now. So that being said, many of you on our voicemails and on our DMs at Here's the Sitch podcast on IG have been talking about, how do you get yourself back onto a good routine from a rut? Mike, my husband himself, has been talking about that the last 2 weeks of the Here's the Sitch podcast, because with Mosey being passed and just the chaos of our lifestyle and everything happening, we just needed to like get back into a routine. So we kind of fell back onto our Magic Mind product that we had discovered a little while ago. And I took it out of the cabinet and I'm like, you know what? This really worked for me and I think you should try it. And Mike has been absolutely loving it. So Magic Mind is something that we discovered, and I really loved the combination of the vitamins and the supplements that are in the product to just help give you that boost of energy. So they have L-theanine, which helps to increase your focus and attention. They also have ashwagandha, which I am a very big fan of, because ashwagandha works together with, I think I'm pronouncing this properly, Rhodiola rosea, to decrease stress and low-grade anxiety by lowering your cortisol levels. So did you hear that? Like, there's a natural ingredient that will lower your cortisol levels and also decrease stress and low-grade anxiety. So that means you don't have to go to a doctor to get a prescription and put any kind of those man-made chemicals into your body. But what I love most about this combo, it also has lion's mane, which boosts your clarity and focus so that you can finish your to-do list and have the rest of the day off. If you head over to the Magic Mind website, you get a limited 40% off subscription and 20% off one-time purchase offer if you use our code SITUATION20. So head over to magicmind.co/situation for 40% off your subscription, and you can use our discount code SITUATION20 for the 20% off option as well. Check it out. I really think you guys are gonna love it. If you're into homeopathic treatments and not going the medication route, this may be the right thing for you. I'm a big fan of ashwagandha and lion's mane and L-theanine, and I just find them to be like a really great combo to just help you out. So check it out, Situation Household approved. And I think there's also some people that may not initially want the same things, but as life,
they may change.
Yes, but
then your time could be wasted though, because 100%, you're hoping that somebody's going to change.
Exactly. And the day someone comes to you and says, "I don't want the same things you want," it's time to run and close the door.
It's priorities too. If you're in your 20s and you're hoping somebody changed, you got the time. You got the time to hope that it's going to change though.
Well, I'd like to say you always have the time, because you shouldn't be settling, you know?
Well, I understand you saying settling, but there also could be someone that you think has everything, but they are a fuckboy. Oh. But I'm just saying, like for instance, my boy Vinny, he might be someone else's, you know, dream guy, but he's not ready to settle. So
I think when he finds the right person,
yeah, I think he's gonna be
great.
I think he's gonna be great. But I'm just saying, there are people like that who, you know, oh my God, he's got everything I want, but he is not ready to settle down. So I guess I will sort of settle for less to sort of be in the conversation.
I see what you're saying. So you're saying don't put yourself in the game if they're not in that phase of their life yet. And I think that's what you're saying. I think
everything happens for a reason. Timing is everything. That's what I'm trying to say. You could bunk into the wrong person at the wrong time, I guess.
And I think that's kind of, I think you're also saying that because sometimes your own personal life experience also like seeps into certain advice and experience and what happened, you know what I mean? And I think that that was very much part of our history, because you were doing your thing.
And you were interested in
getting back together.
And I was not. And you said, fine. You said, fine, I'm going to go do my thing. And because you went to fashion school at the time.
I think what I mean is we broke up before you started doing the show ever.
It wouldn't have worked at the time anyway.
No, but if we were together then, we wouldn't be together now.
No, you're right.
Because that, I don't think anything would have
too many bridges would have been burned at that particular time period.
Yeah.
I think it just happened the way that it was supposed to happen. A lot of people are also very, they're not dialed into what actually happened in our relationship, which is a really good story.
No one knows the full story. Yeah, it's like we just never shared it.
It's a really good story. We broke up right when Jersey Shore started in 2000, and we broke up in 2008. So Jersey Shore started in 2009. But we had broken up not because we were like bad to each other. It was more of just that like my life was sort of collapsing. Because of my own behavior, and that's when I and my own decisions, my life was unmanageable, and I went to rehab in probably in 2007, and it was the first time I ever went to rehab.
I think it was 2008.
Well, it was probably 2007 or 2008. You know what I'm saying? But
the first time you ever went.
Once I had gotten out of rehab, and it was for substance abuse. It wasn't necessarily for alcohol, though I dabbled in alcohol. It was mainly for opiates or pills. And that's when I really, that's where everything really started for me. Eventually I had rent to rehab a couple times later, but that's another story. We're talking about the relationship right now. I had gotten out of rehab. I was cleaned up. And my girlfriend at the time, who is now my wife, she was entertaining getting back to we were entertaining getting back together.
Yeah,
at that
once time. You got out of once rehab. Once I got out of rehab,
we were entertaining it. We were talking like, oh, you know, where would we live and what would we do and things like that. And
I think it, from my perspective, I think it was that was the heaviest thing I had ever gone through my life. And
yeah.
I think same for you.
Yeah.
But we were both very young adults.
Yep.
And I think, I'm sure you were in your own way shooketh to the core, but I was shooketh to the core because before you had gone away, it was really, really scary and really, that's what addiction is when you're kind of at your rock bottom before you go to treatment. And it was kind of before, or I guess looking back, it was like during the beginning of that opiate pandemic epidemic.
Yeah, it was like in style then back at that time in 08, 09, when the streets were being flooded with opiates and people had prescription pads and it was just wild in the streets. I went to rehab. I got out. And I thought everything was peaches. And me and my girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, we didn't really know about addiction. We were like, all right, you know, like maybe we can make this thing work again. And we were definitely talking to try to make it work. And I think you were also finding a new path in your life as well. You were like, all right, this thing didn't work out with my then boyfriend. And you were like, you know, I'm going to continue to follow my education.
Yeah, I was in the city going to fashion school, and I've always been like into education and into work, and I've always been a really hard worker all my life.
And I was so impressed with you too at the time.
I was like no joke, like 6 a.m., you know, after school, I would elect to choose 8 a.m., which was the earliest classes you could take at my college in the city. And I would be up out the door by 6 a.m. from New Jersey, do 8 a.m. to like 12:30, 1 p.m. class so that I can intern and have experience at these places where I wanted to work and where it was like aspirational for me to have my career. And I worked my butt off and I loved what I was doing at the time. So I think that also even scared me even more because I had found my footing when you went to rehab. And
yeah,
I found something that made me happy.
I was
impressed
with you. And
I was scared to like...
It probably spurred me on to take a few chances in my own
life. Of your
own.
Mm-hmm. And I think you did. And I think...
What led us to where we are now.
Exactly what you said was like everything happened how it was supposed to be. But there were times... Listen, Mike had always had a very big piece of my heart. He was always a very strong love of my life. Mm-hmm. We were together for years in college. And...
Like four.
I always cared for him. Yeah. And I always was concerned for him, especially since we had parted ways for his health reasons. So that's something you always like are like, oh my God, I hope he's okay. Like forever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have that peace of him. And we would talk and I'd always have that connection. But I think, like I said, we were a little too inexperienced and scared from what had happened. And
I had moved back in with my father after rehab. And then my father had explained to me that I was too wild for pretty much anybody, and that I the only person that can straighten me out was Uncle Sam, which I guess eventually he was right.
Time would tell.
only time would tell with that one, which Uncle Sam would definitely end up straightening me out probably 10 years later. But my father said, you need to go to the military. And you need to get a skill and you need to get straightened out. You're too wild. And he definitely was onto something because I was not doing the right thing. And also I knew that my girlfriend at the time was following her dreams and she was going to fashion school and she had her internships. And that kind of – I'm not going to say that was I was jealous, but it definitely inspired me to take some chances in my own life. So
– You never told me that.
In combination with what my – ex-girlfriend was telling me, who's now my wife, was telling me that she's going for internships and she's following her dreams and she's hustling. And then my father telling me that he's going to kick me out of the house very shortly if I didn't enter into the military. So my father drove me to the nearest, military recruiting facility or what you call it. And I took the ASVAPS, which is the military entrance exam, and I got a 67. And that said that it was good enough to get into the Navy. And I told my pops, I said, listen, before I sign on this dotted line, can you just give me a week before you kick me out of the house? Because this is going to change my whole life. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going into, you know, the Navy. Just give me a week before you kick me out. He said, fine. So I had about a week of some heavy thinking. It was probably about 2 weeks, 10 days. And I thought to myself, you know what? If I go do this, what my father wants, which it might be playing it safe in life, I'm never gonna, in my opinion, I never went for my dreams. And my wife had, you know, she was going through fashion school, and she was doing all this stuff, and I was inspired by her as well. So that's when I was spurred on. In that week period, I was in amazing shape. For my age, I was in my 20s. I had an amazing body. I said, you know what? I'm going to try to be a fitness model. So I started sending him pictures of myself in my underwear to anybody that would take them in New York City. And ironically, someone answered those emails 2 days later. And they had signed me to be a fitness and underwear modeling in New York City. Now, listen, this type of stuff was, we're talking like the best I could have ever gotten was a JCPenney model here. You know what I mean? I would have been modeling Hanes. But it was a sign that I was going in the right direction. And then I couldn't wait to call my ex-girlfriend, who is sitting across from me right now, and tell her, like, oh my God, I finally got signed to be an underwear model. And I remember calling her that day, and I told her, I'm like, you're not, you know, she was probably coming home from the city from fashion school and her internship. And I let her know that I was signed to be an underwear model.
Today's episode of Here's the Sitch podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. And of course, they are Situation Household approved. HelloFresh has been there for us for, I want to say, years now in our households. And now they've become even more essential, especially with being pregnant and having a 15-month-old at the same time. So we are heading into the fall season and switching it up and going for the family-friendly meals. What I love most about HelloFresh is two things. I love their quick and easy recipes, 20-minute meals that are low-prep, low-cleanup options to provide an even faster route to putting food on the table around your jam-packed schedule. As you know, if you've been listening to Here's the Sitch podcast, our home has been under construction for the better part of a year, including our kitchen. So it's really important to have really simple meals that are easy to prepare, easy to clean up, and easy to enjoy around the family dinner table. So thanks to HelloFresh, the family has been eating good and loving the home-cooked meals at the same time. Also, HelloFresh is about 72% cheaper than dining at a restaurant, and it's even cheaper than grocery shopping these days. That means money back in your pocket to take care of your family, which, what is better than that? I don't think anything. So getting back into the fall season can be super busy, especially with children, or just getting back into that new Monday through Friday work routine, or whatever your chaotic lifestyle may be. Weeknights can be made so much easier with foolproof step-by-step recipes that are ready in around 30 minutes or less, depending on which meal plan you can pick. There's actually over 55 weekly options, so you can take the stress out of meal planning and prepping. From family-friendly, which is what we're doing now, to fit and wholesome, which is what we did all summer, and even veggie, HelloFresh has tasty and nutritious meals to make sure to please everybody. You cannot go wrong with HelloFresh. They are America's number one meal kit for a reason. And of course, we have a special discount code for our listeners. As always, Here's the Sitch listeners. Head over to HelloFresh.com/situation16 and use code situation16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/situation16 with code SITUATION16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. That is what we call a good situation.
So once I was signed to the New York City Fitness Modeling Agency, I had eventually fell into, after a couple months of not really getting, I wasn't getting booked. And I was wondering why I wasn't getting booked. I was in, shredded. A lot of the times in that industry, you got to grease the wheels. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I was not greasing the wheels.
Ooh.
And I was not willing to grease the wheels either.
Oh my goodness.
If you get what I'm throwing out there. Okay?
Yeah, I think so.
The wheels that needed to be greased would be, the photographers and the casting agencies. That needed to be greased. And I was not willing to grease anything at that particular time period. I was happy to just, like I said, I was happy to be signed. I was happy to be going on these go-sees. For me, I felt like I was on the right path rather than, drug dealing at that particular time period.
Major improvement.
Yeah, major improvement. But like I said, again, I was not willing to go the extra mile and start giving out blowjobs.
Oh, my God.
It just is what it was. It is what it is. Eventually, like I said, it was only about 3 months that I was doing it. And then eventually I fell into a Jersey Shore casting, which within 3 months.
Yep.
So I didn't have to really break any of my moral code there. Mm-hmm. And I fell into a Jersey Shore casting and I was casted in 2008. Filmed the pilot for Jersey Shore for Viacom and VH1. A year later, it was passed over to to MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And it was reworked from a competition show, America's Biggest Guido, to the show you see today, which is a docuseries about Italian-Americans living and working together at that particular time period. And it started in 2009,
And then the rest was history. And that's basically where our relationship status had left off because I was pursuing my goals and dreams and aspirations and hustling. Yep. And you were hustling in your own sense. And we stayed in touch. There were times where we had hung out, but it was like testing the waters, like dipping your toe in the sand type thing. You know what I mean? And we never got fully back together.
No,
it never happened.
You in the beginning though said you were like, listen, don't go on it and we'll get back together. And I was like, I don't know. I think I should try this first. And then, and that's what happened.
I told you not to call me from there.
Yeah.
Didn't I?
Yeah.
I was like, don't call me from there. I was like, we're not together. So I was like, I don't know what it is going to be.
You're like, I'm not going to be that.
I've always been a private person.
You're like, I'm not going to be that girl that's sitting at home getting cheated on either.
Yeah. Well, then we weren't together either.
No, we weren't.
At all.
No, exactly.
But I was like, don't call me from there because I don't want to be.
We sort of cut ties a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we were thinking about getting back together. And then I was like, no, I want to take this chance. You're like, well, I'm not going to get back together if you're going to go on something like that because we'll never last. And you were right.
Yes.
You were right.
That was why I said that. It wasn't like ultimatum type thing. It was like, I'm not signing up for that. You could sign up for that, but I'm not going to sign up for it.
But you were right, though, because if I would have went on that.
It's just not my personality. It still isn't.
We wouldn't have lasted.
You know,
if 100%. If you were that girl that was on the phone, on these shows, you see it all the time, it wouldn't have worked.
Yes. That's what I correlated it to like real world, where they always have someone on the cast that has a girlfriend at home and they're like crying on the phone because it's just distance and that age.
Yeah.
And emotions and
all that stuff. Long story short, we sort of cut ties a little bit. I did the show. We would sort of check in with each other here and there.
We did.
Like, how's everything? Everything's good. The show's doing good. And you were happy that I was successful.
Yes.
But, and I was single and then you eventually fell into another relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you never know the full story of what goes on in people's lives.
Yeah.
Even if they are, especially if they're on TV, you think you kind of know an idea, but you really get such a surface because there's so many depths and layers of everything that happens in your life. So imagine, like a certain percentage, a small percentage of your personal life being shown. So, and then people think that like that's the entire picture of what had happened and who you are and your story. And it's very oftentimes for everyone on TV, it's a very small picture of it. And I think that when that's exactly what happened, the show, you got casted. And when people would ask me back then, or even when we had first, when we got back together, fast forward to now, when we got back together, or I guess 8 years ago, and we would do press and stuff like that, and they would be like, the first question or one of the main questions was always, how did you feel when the show was out and airing? And the interviewers were always surprised at my answer because it's such a point of view that they never thought of. Because like I said, people think they know so much about like your lives, but they really only know a small part.
We had a great relationship in college. We were like, you know, first loves.
Yes, 100%. That, but also the fact of how we ended being such a kind of heavy and traumatic time, not in like usual boyfriend, girlfriend, young drama, in actual life, like an addiction, you know, got in the way. And you had and a health thing had to be taken care of.
It was
of.
Both. It was very new to both of us, though. We were both like, "Oh my god!" Like,
it was our first time ever dealing with that. This was
like devastation. Like, oh my god, we were young and we were green, and it was so new to us, and we didn't know like what was going on. But
yeah, so the fact that when they would ask like, "What was your impression of the show?" Yada yada yada, blah blah blah, whatever, and I'd be like, "Listen, I was proud that he had found success, and I was proud that he found like his way. It may be unorthodox to a lot of people's directions and paths and life choices and whatnot, but he found massive worldwide success in a very short, practically overnight time frame. Yep. And in order to achieve that, you have to understand the risks that you take as a human being. So to be able to put himself out there, and you can call whatever behavior characteristics, whatever you want to say, he is responsible for the overnight success he had made and turns that into a livelihood in a very short period of time, and went from, you know, someone who kind of was the black sheep in the family and no one really wanted to take in and support, and didn't, they were going to drop him off at Navy's training or whatever it was, to then everyone, you know, wants to be around you, everyone wants to work for you, everyone wants to travel with you. So it's just, and that was all because of the risks he was willing to take. So my point of view was always happy that he had found his way, that he was being successful and making a living for himself, and not trying to figure it out.
It
was deeper than like the context of the show.
An overnight success, multi-millionaire, one of the biggest stars in the country.
Yeah.
One of the biggest shows and phenomenons from 2009 to 2012. Historically, one of the biggest reality shows ever.
Yeah.
And to this day, the biggest ratings in MTV history.
Yep.
And we're still on 15 years later.
And to see someone at their lowest that you love, and especially first love type love.
Yeah.
That love that changes you as a person, that you remember forever, whether you're with that person or not. Some that strong of a love and a bond. And seeing them at their lowest and having to go to rehab. And like you said, like not having the history or the education or the experience or even like the acceptance in the community. How it's a very openly spoken thing now. The stigma back then was significantly higher. And you didn't know where to turn. There wasn't an education around every corner about it. And there weren't a lot of people openly talking about it. And we just were young and didn't know. And so I was just coming from the point of view of like, man, like I'm happy he's alive.
Yeah.
Like he found his way. Yeah, he's just got a good job. Like that was my point of view. And I was just in my own world hustling and always like thought of him. Like he said, I would check in with him. He would check in with me. Time would fly by. And timing is everything in life.
Yeah.
And there were times where he had called and like pursued, and I knew what was happening.
It wasn't the right time.
In
2011, I had achieved, you know, to be a multimillionaire. I was making millions per year. I was, you know, on the biggest show or the biggest reality show in the country. I was on Dancing with the Stars. I was on, you know, the Trump roast, and I was invited to Trump Tower, and I was flown by over on a private jet in one of Trump's, you know, jets, and they paid me a significant fee to do that Trump roast. And I remember feeling to myself so lonely. You know, I felt like I had the millions, I had the superstar stardom. I believe I was GQ Sensation of the Year that year, and no other reality star had done that.
It was definitely your biggest year.
And I felt like I had everything, but I felt like I was so lonely. I felt like I had everything, but I had nothing.
All right, guys, so today's episode of Here's the Sitch podcast is brought to you by one of our favorite partners since the beginning of Here's the Sitch, and that is Helix Sleep. Helix Sleep has been helping us out for, I want to say, almost like 3 years now we've been in our home. So Helix Sleep is one of the best mattress companies that we've found to date. They have personalized mattresses that are shipped straight to your door completely free of charge. Helix also knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. And that's why they offer a 100-night risk-free trial. Try out your very new Helix mattress, see how your body adjusts, and if you decide it's not the best fit for you, you're welcome to return it for a full refund. Everyone is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, and each is designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. So whether you're a hot or cold sleeper, a back or side or stomach sleeper, they have the right fit for you. It's super simple. All you have to do is head over to their website, helixsleep.com. You can take their quiz, fill out all of your preferences with sleeping, and they will match you with a perfect customized mattress for you to try and test out. So it is situation household approved. We love our Helix mattresses and we want you guys to have the best sleep of your life. So check it out. Of course, we have a special discount code for you as always. So Helix is offering our Here's the Sitch listeners up to $200 off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our Here's the Sitch listeners. All you have to do to take advantage of this offer is head over to helixsleep.com/situation. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's $200 off all mattress orders plus two free pillows for our Here's the Sitch listeners. Head over to helixsleep.com/situation and get your best sleep ever.
And I remember to a time where I was really, truly happy. And when that time was, and you want to know when that time was? When I was with my wife, or, you know, at the time it was my girlfriend. You know, she was my true love or my college sweetheart. That was the only time that I was happy, when I felt like I had everything, when I actually had nothing. Do you see, like, how ironic that is? Because now, you know, people would look at me, you know, a couple years later, I don't know if it was, it was about 4 years later, and they'd say you were a multimillionaire and you were driving the Lamborghinis and, you know, you were on Dancing with the Stars and you were the GQ Man of the Year. You have everything. Well, in my mind, you know, I was lonely in a hotel room in Trump Tower calling my ex-girlfriend, feeling like I had nothing. And I had called her, and I felt at a very low point mentally in my life, and I called her for the first time in probably a year or two or a couple of years, and she actually picked up, and I had just let her know that I was a mess, and then I really wanted her back, and she was in a relationship at the time, you know, and she said, listen, like, this can't happen, but maybe she can, like, talk me off the ledge. And that's the type of woman that she is. You know, she kept her integrity, and she said, listen, I really can't take this call right now. And she talked me off the ledge. She hung up, like, you know, gracefully, and then she changed her number.
I did.
She changed. What a good girl, though. She changed her number. I didn't reconnect with her until, I think, 2 or 3 years later, when she had broken up with this guy. And they had their problems or whatever, but thankfully they did, because, you know, eventually, you know, I had reconnected with her a couple years later once Jersey Shore had wrapped and I was sort of trying to settle down. I was trying to do the right thing, but I was on the fence, and we bunked into each other at a kickboxing gym, which I did get word on the street that she was working out at this gym the day before. So I went to that gym that next day at the same time, and we bunked into each other. We never left each other's side thereafter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the show had been off the air for about a year, maybe?
No, maybe more than that. Maybe, what did we get back in, like, 13 or 14?
13.
So it was about a year that it was off.
So it was like, it felt like it was in the past, and it was time to just, you know, I had moved back to the area. He was in the area. It was like a clean slate. I was done with the show.
I was still looking to do reality, and I was still looking to do entertainment, and I was searching for other networks and other different types of shows to do, similar, not necessarily the same as Jersey Shore. I was willing to do, you know, a cooking show.
I was
looking to stay in the industry. And I was willing to find my way, and I still had, you know, money saved that, you know, was that I was sitting on, that I was trying different businesses and things like that. But I wasn't in a good mental space, as I was now back heavily addicted to various substances at that particular time period. And she saw that when she bunked into me. But listen, enough about all that, because I'm technically writing my autobiography right now. I'm really spilling the tea right now on everything. And it's an amazing love story, and it's an amazing comeback story. I don't know how we got back into, but I think we tied this into relationships. How was the wrong, it was the right time, or was the wrong time, right person.
Right. And timing is, oh my God, it is so crucial and so important. If the timing is not right, no matter how perfect that person is for you, which no one is perfect, but yes, there's a perfect person for you out there, and that will complete you and all those types of things, but at the right time in your life and the right time in their life. So the stars really have to align, but it is possible. I mean, I wouldn't have pictured my life with anybody else, and there's so many details to all those stories.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what did happen, though. You had called me. You called me from a different phone number, by the way, though.
I did.
I didn't know it was you.
Been that burner, kid.
I think it was your number, but I didn't have your newest number.
Uh-huh.
And because I would call your sister and check in with you, because you would change your number a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times, this is also a fun fact that kind of gives you some insight to the history we had.
The only stable thing about me back then was that I was unstable.
Yes. Well, that's what I was going to say. That brings a point to exactly what I was going to say. You kind of took the words out of my mouth. I often wasn't calling to, like, speak to you and be with you and do things with you. I would call, you know, the person who I knew was closest to you and cared about you probably some of the most in your life, your sister, and I would call to say, how is he doing? Is he okay?
I was such a loose cannon.
And a lot of there
used to be teams of people that were in charge of just trying to make sure that I didn't make the crazy decisions.
It was in the pre-tech, pregnancy brain, pretext, context, I don't know.
Pretense.
It was under the pretense of, like, she knew what I was talking about. She was obviously there the first time you had gone to rehab, and she cares about you deeply, and as did I always. So I would call and be like, is he doing okay? What's going on? And there was nothing I could do at the time, but I just felt like it was my, I don't know, duty to, like, check in. And if I could be of any help to ever help you, I always would be there. And that was kind of my line of communication to her and your family, and a way for you to get connected with me if you ever needed to. And then
you know that the reason why they told me to go to that kickboxing gym, you know who told me to go there?
Who?
One of my family members. They knew you were the secret weapon. They knew that if anybody could change this maniac,
I don't know about that.
If anybody can change this maniac, it's his college sweetheart, who he loved more than life itself. And I'm serious. And I didn't go to the kickboxing gym, and I usually didn't go to places like that. It was Melissa and Frank mm-hmm. that went to those two gyms, and they had called me and said, you know who we saw at the kickboxing gym? We saw Lauren. Yeah. And then guess what? I was like, my beak had been, my interest had been piqued. And then I was there the next night, and that's how it happened.
Yeah. So... yeah, that's there's so many details, and
I'm telling you, this book gonna be fire. This book,
I know, and it's funny because he's been preparing.
I've been working on this book for a couple months now.
So it's like all these stories have come up, and you know, you always remember the stories, but then you remember the details, and the more you talk about it, the more you remember and you relive, and it's just a really cathartic, I think, thing to write a book. About everything that you've gone through.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's going to be.
I'm really excited for it.
It's going to be an amazing accomplishment, and it has, you know, the rise and the fall and the rise again, of my situation.
But yeah, I think we got here by talking about relationships and core values and timing and swipers.
Yes. All right. Well, on that note, we don't want to, you know, get you guys too hyped for the situation autobiography. But it, like I said, it's just amazing.
It's
amazing.
Gonna be fire.
Amazing stories. But let's get back. Let's give them the phone number, honey, because we got to let the subscribers and listeners know that they can call in and be featured on an episode of Here's the Sitch podcast.
Yes. So you guys, our hotline is always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The phone number is 732-898-0414. That is the Here's the Sitch podcast hotline. You can also hit us up on Instagram at Here's the Sitch podcast. That is also open 24/7 on our socials. You can DM, you can story, you can comment. And if you would like to be featured on the next episode, make sure you call into the hotline, leave us a message, let us know what your questions, comments, concerns are, or if you just have certain topics you want us to talk about, if you liked us talking about some of our relationship history, we have years of that, yep. that we could always definitely share and draw upon, which is where obviously our experience lies when it comes to our relationship. So we're always trying to just help and give our perspective and different perspectives on bettering yourself, bettering your life, and all that good stuff. So once again, the hotline number is 732-898-0414.
All right, guys. And before we go to a couple callers, I'd like to let you guys know that over about 40 years of living on this earth, I'd have to say that what I've learned is that I know absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And then we all have so much to learn. And I also feel that that it costs $0 to be kind. So try to always be kind if you can. All right, honey, let's go to some callers.
Hi, Mike and Lauren. I'm Kim from South Jersey. I just wanted to say I love listening to you guys. You really are such positive podcast that we really didn't know that we needed, and you helped me during difficult times through my divorce. What I wanted to ask you now that I am divorced and I have moved on to my second half of my life, I'm 54, and with COVID, we gained some COVID weight, I gained some divorce weight. How do you go about getting started again to do self-care for yourself, because I'm having a really hard time doing it? Thank you so much. Love listening to you guys, and congratulations on baby number two.
Kim. From South Jersey. She was
God. This right here is right in my wheelhouse, because this is exactly what's happening right now in my life.
Same.
As you guys know, a couple weeks ago, our beloved dog Moser had passed, and of 10 years, and he was amazing, a member of our family, and it definitely threw me off my game. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be. For a few weeks now, I haven't really been eating well, I haven't really been exercising, I haven't been doing my regimen and my routine, and where I'm at right now is the question that she asked: how do you get restarted?
So how do you do it?
Well, right now I'm doing it one day at a time. I'm really habit stacking, as they call it, right now. I'm really trying to get one thing right per day or per week, and then build off of it. So today I went to the park and I did a fasted hour and a half walk, and it was amazing. I felt great. I got into nature. I got a little bit of a tan, so I got like the gym out the way. I got a little bit of the tanning out the way. I feel good. And then all day today, because I started with that activity of exercise, it has built my confidence more to been eating more healthy today as well. So that's what they call, it's like habit stacking. You achieve one goal of a positive habit and you stack upon it. So I would just say small victories, as I like to call it, yeah. And work one day at a time. You know, find the exercise that you like to do, and that's self-care, whether it's cycling, bicycling, walking, you know, doing trails, going to the gym and just being active, getting out with other people. That will build more confidence to drink more water and to also put better, more healthy things in your body. A salad, a healthy sandwich, and then the next day you do it all over again and repeat. And then as the weeks go by, you try to tighten those habits, which means better exercise, a cleaner diet, more water. And overall, over time, you keep building off those habits. So that's where I'm at as well. So,
all right, guys. So thank you so much for listening to Here's the Sitch podcast with the Situations. Don't forget to call into our Here's the Sitch podcast hotline. Again, we are open 24/7, so you can call any time of the day and night with questions, comments, concerns, and topics. We love to hear from you guys because this is really one of our passion projects that we like to do in our spare time. So this podcast is here for you and kind of to just give back to our listeners and from our experience and things we've learned. And we actually like to really use it to hold ourselves accountable and keep ourselves on track when we're kind of slacking or need to just get refocused. So thank you guys for being there for us. And we hope that you love us being here for you. So give us a call at 732-898-0414 and have a beautiful week.